Good morning. Psalm 23 sings of God shepherding us. In John's Gospel, we hear that task assigned to Jesus. I am the good shepherd. In this case, the metaphor is explored for the wisdom it offers in the relationship between shepherd and sheep. Reading from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer? Holy One, we have heard and remember the promise where two or three are gathered in your name. Indeed, your love is among us. Here, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives rise from and express that love at the heart of it all. Amen. I heard a kind of funny, quirky, heartrending story this week about a minister who took her young child, 7 months old, to the swimming pool. This 7-month-old, Eleanor, just loved the little, you know, the little wading pool that's barely up to your knees? Just loved it. When mom would take her away from the pool, she'd be leaning back and reaching for the pool because she loved it so much. Well, this woman took her minister woman took her child after swimming in the pool into the locker room, and you know what it's like. You got a slippery kid, and you got to get your diaper bag out of the locker and so on. And so she put her 7-month-old on one of those low benches, just laid her there, and reached and went to get the diaper bag, and no, just in a split second, heard this roll and thump, and spun around and scooped up this child. That sound of the cheek hitting the cement was just well, immediately adrenaline just flooded through her, and she took her child and held her child as close to her body as she could, and she went running, yelling, complete panic for help. Well, three well-intentioned people stopped to assist her. The first one was a woman who, as she walked by on her way out of the locker room, talked a fair bit on and on, a little bit, about how a rice pack on the cheek would be helpful, and had a story about that. Well, she couldn't take the story and couldn't wait for the woman to stop talking. The second woman came along, calmly introduced herself as a doctor, and looked at Eleanor, looked at her face and her skin, and explained the signs of a concussion, which was somewhat helpful. Most significantly, she knew that her child didn't have a brain injury, but by the time that she had finished connecting with this woman, had finished connecting with her, and connecting is a significant word here, Eleanor had stopped crying. She kind of put in the time, right? And the focus. Third one arrived. A man had seen her emerge from the locker room, appeared from the men's locker room, approached her and asked if he could pray for her and for them. And this minister blurted out, "No, I'm a pastor," and clutched her daughter even closer to her chest. It's funny, eh? Stress will make you say the darndest things. "I'm a pastor. I can pray for myself. Thank you very much. Now bug off." To be fair, so she's a first-time mom, sleep-deprived, already spent too much time in the neonatal ICU for her liking. It would be not her typical response to that offering. But, you know, fair enough in the circumstances. Yet, truth be told, there are times when I'd say, no, thank you, keep your prayers to yourself. There are times. And then maybe that sounds a little scandalous coming from a minister. But in truth, there are times I'd rather someone kept their prayers to themselves. Too often, Christians use prayer in such a way that it feels like an imposition into the situation. A thing too easily offered and walked away from. Becomes something, actually, something other than prayer. You see, the deep, authentic significance of prayer, the thing that makes it so true and so deep and so profound a practice, has to do with prayer as a genuine effort to be in communion. Communion with God and communion with one another. The communion with the soul of another's life. When we pray together, we commune with God, and therefore we commune with each other. Prayer offered separate and apart from a genuine attempt to know a person, to connect, to commune, can be cheap at best, offensive at worst. At a recent Pastoral Care and Hospitality team meeting, this crowd that gathered here, many of them, we talked about prayer with people when you're visiting, in times of grief, in times of loss, in any time really, and mostly in times of vulnerability. And the consensus was, that can be pretty awkward. It can be hard. Because it's so vulnerable. But it seems to me it depends on why we feel we ought to pray. Why we are compelled to pray. Is it a reaction to discomfort? The discomfort of that vulnerability or pain that is in the room? Fill the air because it's hanging too low? Lighten up the situation with prayer. It's going to be okay. Are we trying to put some prayer distance between us and the situation by appealing to God to kind of step in and fix it? Or are we treating, as did the gentleman in the third visitor, treating it as kind of a Band-Aid? And the most significant change that is made when this prayer Band-Aid is offered is within the prayer, because you feel better. And a part of that, I mean, that sounds cynical, but the reality is we need to be clear about how we are offering the care that we are offering, including in prayer. Part of it is that we don't know a situation well enough to know what to pray for often. In a situation in which someone shares their story of illness and loss in a genuine way that reveals the struggle to live with grace and hope, even when sometimes you feel alone, it's so easy for prayer to feel glib or inauthentic, an imposition, rather than an authentic communion with God in the situation, even if it doesn't solve anything. There are times when prayer does not invite us into communion, but helps us step out of it. It can pull us away from relationships if it's entered into too glibly or too easily. And that's the crux of the matter. Prayer that is courageous does not draw back from the impossibilities and the dilemmas of everybody's situations. But it draws us into relationship, into communion, gives voice to the depth of struggle and the dilemmas and the genuine situation, even if there is no solution. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm not a hired hand who is not connected with the sheep. I would lay down my life for my sheep." And he says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And I got to say that with any spiritual leader or teacher that I have ever been attracted to or wanted to emulate, the factor that makes all the difference for me is the degree to which I can perceive a desire for that kind of connection. The degree to which leadership is rooted in a genuine desire to know and be known. The difference Jesus is pointing to between the hired hand and the shepherd is how connected they are, how intertwined they are, how interdependent they are. Each one of the people that were up here and all who offer hospitality and pastoral care within the life of this community are opening the heart and life in that vulnerable way, because that is the place where the grace and peace of Christ is exchanged. And this morning we focused on aspects of our pastoral care and hospitality ministry. Lynn talked about the importance of these parts of life in a church. And this part of our ministry is only significant if it is rooted in that deep desire to know one another, to be in communion with one another, and therefore be in communion with God, who lives in that space between us. This is not part of a program, but it's part of the very fabric of our life. Every phone call we make, every visit, every event, every prayer offered needs to be rooted in a desire for authentic relationship. Knowing. And I think the soul, the human soul, longs to be known and to know. Longs for communion. The wise soul sniffs out inauthentic relationship, the hired hand, in a split second. The wise soul also discerns and comes to rest in places of genuine, authentic communion. It was a time in my life when I felt kind of adrift from that kind of communion. Newly in Saskatoon as a young seminarian, didn't know a soul. Having left the church that was really strong in my life and I was totally involved with. And at first I couldn't identify it. For about the first 4 or 5 months, I couldn't identify what was so off in me. And eventually I came to realize I was in a place where nobody knew me, really. And I didn't know anybody, really. And realized that to be in Christian community is to be known and to know each other. As Teresa Latini said in her recent blog, "I suppose I'd like Christians to be bold enough to say something like, 'Please don't pray for me until you have first walked with me. Know me. Hear the depth of my fear or anguish or whatever it might be, and let it affect you. Then, let us bring our, not just my, most profound needs vulnerably to God. Please do not try to escape that vulnerability. Because if you do, you've left me. And that's not prayer. Nor is it communion with God through Christ by the Spirit. And if you have no words, that is okay. More than okay, in fact. It's an invitation to sit with me in the awfulness of my predicament and to silently wait upon God together." I don't ever want people to feel like I've laid something on them when we pray. But rather, I want to be in communion, in a communion of souls, a coming together, a deepening in God, an intimate connection. And that's where pastoral care, hospitality, beloved community, worship, all of it comes together, is woven together like a quilt with many pieces. We are not hired hand prayers, none of us. We are followers of a shepherd who knows us. And together, whether we have words for it or not, we wait upon God together. Amen.